Really appreciate the choir, appreciate what they've done, appreciate Michelle working very hard in Brother Keith's absence. Amen. Thank you. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. We've got some scripture I want to share with you this morning. We'll talk about the birth of a Savior. Thank the Lord that we can do that. We want to be doing what God wants us to do. But if you got your Bible this morning, we're going to Galatians chapter number 4. And we're going to read just a couple of verses. And then we're going to try to go through some things and help you to understand what Christmas really, you know what Christmas is about. It's about Jesus. But it goes all the way through the Word of God. And we're going to start in the letter to the Galatians, okay? Galatians chapter 4, in verse number 4 through verse number 5. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now, it says here, when the fullness of time, and here's what I want us to understand as we begin to look at the Scripture and understand the birth of Christ, is that God's timing is always perfect. And at the perfect time, God sent His Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. If you would consider it and think about it, Christmas is a very special time. It's a special time, and I don't ever want us to lose the significance of that and how important and how special it is. It's like the song, my favorite Christmas song is "O Holy Night." And Christmas night was a holy night. It was a special night. It was a night above all nights. And if you'll have it, it was the focal point of the ages, divided between the Old and the New Testament, where B.C., as we understand time, and A.D. come together. And A.D., as we understand time, and here's the thing about those who don't follow Christ, all of time is measured by Him. A.D. is Anno Domini, it means in the year of our Lord. The perfect time, because if you understand and study history, Rome had conquered the known world. Roman roads would allow for easier spread of the gospel as you study the letters and the writings and the missionary works of Paul. There were Roman courts, Roman justice. The expressive Greek language was available to be used in the writing of the gospels and the epistles. You see, if you understand your Bible, you know there are three languages as it was originally penned, a little in Aramaic, Old Testament mostly in Hebrew, but the New Testament was penned in Greek, an expressive language. And if you read the writing of Luke, or the beginning of the book of Acts, or the book of Hebrews, and you see how those words were used, and you understand that during this time, during the time of Christ, there were words introduced like agape that had never been seen or understood before. Now, you and I need to understand that it's even more expressive than the English language. I can't really dive into that because I've got so much to cover. But here's what I want you to understand by saying those things, is God had put everything into place exactly as He saw fit so that Jesus Christ could come into the world at the perfect time. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says this, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David." You see, it wasn't by chance, because as important as it is, the place itself was actually prophetic. If you consider the prophecy foretold in Micah chapter 5, in verse number 2, the scripture says this in the Old Testament. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting." And if you understand the prophecy fulfilled, it is in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 4. where it says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David." Now, when he was there, we understand that there was a stable, there was a manger, and there were swaddling clothes. Because when Jesus came, he came in a very humble fashion. You see, Jesus came into a world that had no room for him, and today that's still the same with many. I don't understand how you can have Christmas without having Christ. But we're in such a politically correct world today that you have to be careful to say, "Happy Holidays." Or some people are offended. Well, I want to tell you this morning, Merry Christmas. Amen. You see, the story of Jesus' birth involves three very important characters. And I want to share some of that with you. Now, this is more of a teaching message this morning, but I want you to get a hold of this and understand how God's Word fits together. Because there are three characters in the birth of Christ. There's the matriarch, which is Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's the monarch, which is Joseph, who is the earthly father or parent of Jesus. And then you have the Messiah, which is Jesus himself. And I want to go through those just briefly and give you some understanding as why they're so significant and what the significance of them are. You see, the matriarch Mary, she is his mother. So what is the significance of Mary? She's very significant in this story. In Isaiah chapter 7, in verse number 14, there was a prophecy given. It says this. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The name Emmanuel, it means God with us. If you go to the book of Luke in the first chapter and you read the 26th through the 28th verse, you can see where the angel of the Lord came to Mary and spoke to her and told her that she would have a son. And she said, "How can I have a son, seeing I know not a man?" Now, I want to be very clear here. I want you to understand very, very much exactly what's going on. Mary had never had any kind of relations with any man, but yet she still birthed a baby, and his name was Jesus. Now, I believe that, and here's what I'm going to tell you that I believe. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, I believe you're going to have a problem ever being saved. Because you're not going to believe, and you're not going to accept Christ for who Christ is. I want you to understand the significance of the virgin birth and why it's important. I want you to understand the first mention. The first mention of the virgin birth is in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 15. And it says this, "The Lord said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." You see, this verse is a prediction of Jesus' victory over Satan, where Jesus crushed the head of Satan while suffering a heel wound in the process. And if you'll notice, it said the seed of the woman. Women do not have seed. Women have eggs. And what happened is the Bible said that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And here's why I say, if you don't believe the virgin birth, how are you going to be saved? How are you going to be able to believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and he took a handful of dust and he created a man, and he breathed into his nostrils, and that handful of dust stood up and it stretched out and it became Adam? Amen. And I believe Adam was a beautiful man. I believe he was an intelligent man, because the Bible says that God brought to him everything that was in the garden, all the animals, and he named them. And then the scripture says that God put him to sleep and took out a rib from his side. And he made a woman, which was help, which meet, which means suitable for him. Now, folks, he's the creator God, and he's capable of creating everything, including a virgin birth, or he is not God at all. You see, it's further confirmed in Galatians 4:4. That's why we read the verse. It said, "God sent forth his son, made of a woman." And then in the third thing, is here's what I want you to understand, is that without the virgin birth, Jesus would have been just a man. But with the virgin birth, he is God and man. That means he can understand and feel your pain, but yet he's God, and he is very important to understand that he's sinless God, sinless man. Well, how is that significant with the virgin birth? Because Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." But that sin debt was not passed to Jesus, because his heavenly Father was God. Amen. See, without the virgin birth, Jesus was at best a good man. See, have you ever thought about and wondered why Mary? Sometimes I look at what God does and we might say why, and it's just God. Why did God choose to bless you? Why did God choose to bless America the way he has? But oh, hasn't he? Why did God choose Israel? Why did God choose Mary? You see, the Bible said that Mary was highly favored. That means she was very fortunate, and I believe that Mary was full of virtue. You see, sometimes in Scripture even you see words that are very small, but they have a very significant meaning. And I believe that there are some words about Mary that help us understand part of the reason that God chose Mary. You see, Mary was of the daughters of Aaron. And the daughters of Aaron were of a line of priests. Well, where do you get that? Well, let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture. In Luke chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, "There was in the days of Herod and the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron." You see, this priest, Zacharias, his wife was also with child. This was Elizabeth. And remember when Mary found out that she was with child, and she went and she told Elizabeth, and the babe that was in Elizabeth leaped in the womb. Why? Because I'll tell you why. That was John the Baptist. That was the forerunner of Christ. Well, why do you think Mary was of the daughters of Aaron? Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. In Luke 1:36, and it says, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." You see, this is significant because if you understand the monarch, the matriarch, and the Messiah, you understand that there's the link to Jesus' priesthood. And we'll come back to that. So how highly should we regard Mary? Where should we honor Mary? Now, I believe we should honor Mary as a virtuous woman. You know, when you read through the Bible and you study in the book of Proverbs and it talks about who can find a virtuous woman, there's really only one woman in the Bible that was called virtuous. But I believe there are others that the Bible refers to as being virtuous, and I believe Mary is one of those. I believe Hannah would be one of those. You see, she was a virtuous woman because she was highly regarded by the Lord himself, and she was chosen to be the mother of Christ. You should also understand that Mary, the mother of Jesus, birthed him. Now, don't you wish you could have Jesus for a kid? A good kid. Never, he never sinned. But you know, Jesus didn't live a lot of years on this earth. And what Mary also got to do was she got to watch her son suffer and bleed and die on the cross. And if you understand the line, one of the sayings when Jesus was on the cross, as he was hanging there and Mary was at his feet crying, and he looked at the disciple and he said, "Behold thy mother, and mother, behold thy son." There's significance to that too, and we'll come back to that. You see, how should we regard Mary? We should recognize the significance of Mary, and she should be highly regarded because she was highly favored, and we should respect her. But I want to tell you what we should not do. We should not regard Mary more highly than God's word teaches us to regard her. You see, there is a certain religion that teaches that Mary herself had an immaculate conception. That means that they teach that she herself was born without sin. But the Bible does not teach this. The only one that's ever born without sin was Jesus Christ. If not, Jesus would never have had to come. The Bible also teaches us that the only one that can make intercession for us with God the Father is Jesus. There are some who teach that Mary had so much influence over her son that we should pray to her and she would talk to Jesus for us. Can I also tell you, the Bible does not teach that. So we should regard Mary, and she is important in this story, but let's not put Mary higher than we should. Let's look at the second one in this story is the monarch, who is Joseph. So what is the significance of Joseph? You can say, well, any old carpenter will do. Not so. You know, the truth is, if you understand the Bible and understand the Word of God, Joseph is perhaps the least recognized yet most important of the earthly parents of Jesus. And let me give you some scripture for that. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is the prophecy. It says, of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The prophecy fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And I want to go down to the 16th and the 17th verse and pay attention to these numbers. It says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So also the generations from Adam to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And y'all have heard me say several times recently preaching that numbers mean something in Scripture. Now we said, Galatians 4:4 said, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. Perfect time, 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations. Now, Joseph was very, very significant in the Christmas story. Remember, God's timing was perfect. And here's what you need to see in the scripture is that Joseph was a direct descendant from King David. Joseph was the actual link that connected Jesus Christ to David according to the scripture. Now, his name, Joseph, the meaning of his name is adding. Okay? Although he was just a carpenter in Nazareth, I want you to understand where he should have been. Jesus should have been sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. But because of sin and separation of the people, Joseph, who should have been king, was in a carpenter's village working. But he was still the descendant of David. You see, Joseph was not the king, but through him, one would be added that would be the Savior of the world. Consider prophetic scriptures. It says, in those days and in that time, this is Jeremiah 33:15. In those days and in that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In Hosea 3:5, it said, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in their latter days. Revelation 22:16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. You see, Jesus is as essential to the Christmas story, or Joseph, is as essential to the Christmas story as David, because he was the link back to David. Remember Mary at Jesus' feet. And Jesus looked at the disciple and he said, "Behold your mother, and mother, behold your son." Have you ever thought about where Joseph was at? You don't hear any more about Joseph. And here's what I believe, based on what I see in God's word and what I understand in this scripture, is that by the time Jesus went to the cross, Joseph had already died. And here's what I want you to understand. It's there because Jesus said to the disciple, "This is now your mother. Mother, this is now your son." Why? Because he is going to be taken care of for now, because Jesus is gone. Because Joseph is also gone. Why did Joseph have to be gone? Because if Joseph were here, he would have been the heir to the throne. But if Joseph is gone, Jesus hanging on the cross is the heir to the throne, the King of Israel, amen, hanging on a cross.
Amen.
Consider the most important character is the Messiah, Jesus. The prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 7 says this: "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Fulfilled in Luke chapter 2 verse 11, where it says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You see, the Christ child Jesus, and let's look at him in his power. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus was the priest, as the scripture says, after the order of Melchizedek. The word Melchizedek, if you break it down, the first part, Mal, means king. And Sadak means righteousness. And Salem means peace. Melchizedek was the king of righteousness from the city of peace, which is Salem. And that's what Jesus is. He is our king of righteousness from the city of peace. And the duty of the priest, he represented man to God. He taught the people about God. He offered the blood sacrifice for the people. And he was our access by the holy to the holy of holies beyond the veil. Something very significant to consider is the birth of Jesus Christ was the beginning of the blood of Jesus. You see, Jesus offered his own blood as the sacrifice. Something real quickly to consider. You remember the work of the priest before? Is every year the people would have to come and they'd have to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people, because there was remembrance and there was a continuance. But when Jesus came and he died on the cross, if you'll understand the scripture says the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And when it was ripped, it started at the top and came down to the bottom. I'd have liked to just been standing somewhere and heard that. Because the birth of Jesus was the beginning of the blood of Jesus. And there was a sacrifice that's now offered in the heavens for the sin of mankind that is accepted, so that there'll never have to be another sacrifice, because he is our high priest. You see, Jesus is our prophet. John 14:6 says this: "Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Everything that I need, he is my prophet. He is my teacher. He's my leader. Jesus said, "When I leave, I'll send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he shall guide you and he'll lead you in all things." Amen. If you're saved by the grace of God and you want to be led, you can be led.
Amen.
If you want to be right with God, you can be right with God.
Amen.
See, he's our priest and he's our prophet. But it's like the song they sing, Jesus is our king. He's my king, and I honor him as such. Most quoted verse Our puggles know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now I want to close with these verses to this song, and I want you to listen to them as they get ready to sing. So we're going to ask you as they begin to sing to rise to your feet. It says this, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Don't let him come to your heart and look for a place. You see, here's the thing about God. Here's the thing about Jesus. He wants everybody. Don't let him come to where you're at and there be no place for him, like there was no room in the inn. It says, let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Now, folks, I want to say this while they're getting ready. It's amazing to me that sometimes animals got more sense than people. We're just about there. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. It's already been said, Brother Billy said it. It'd be a great day for somebody to find Jesus, Brother Billy. And here's what I want you to understand. It's such a peaceful time at Christmas when you start thinking about all that God's done. Do you know Jesus? Would you like to just come and thank him? I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet as they prepare. God spoke to your heart, and you'd like to come. The altars of this church are always open. We believe in that. We believe that God can help you be the very best that you can be. If you'd like to come, would you please come?